You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the offices of the Washington, D.C. office of the law firm of Polsinelli. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, John Schuart, Graybeard Coaching, Phil Fagan, Polsinelli, Diane Richer, Polsinelli, Tim Perrin from Polsinelli, as well as Stephen Pozefsky from Polsinelli. John, can you give us a list of who we have to talk with today?
Our first guest is Joe Thomas, president of Bay Bank. Our second guest will be Terry Kinney, market president of TD Bank. Then we'll talk to Brian Plum, president and CEO of Blue Ridge Bank. And our last guest is Bob Irvin, president of American Rivers.
Excellent. Let's get to know Joe Thomas, president and CEO of Bay Bank. Joe, what is Bay Bank? What do you guys do?
Bay Bank is a community bank based in Columbia, Maryland. We have $700 million in total assets. We're NASDAQ publicly traded. We serve small business owners and professionals in the Baltimore-Washington corridor, and we have 150 entrepreneurs that work at our company.
Well, what do you mean you have 150 entrepreneurs that work in the company? What are you talking about?
All of our employees come to work every day as owners and problem solvers for our customers and for our shareholders.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that if I happen to be fortunate enough to be employed by the bank, I have some incentive, some equity ownership involved?
Absolutely. Our employees all receive match of their 401k in Bay Bank stock. They have incentives if they refer clients, refer employees.
How does this benefit the clients of the bank, considering that the team members are all incentivized?
Bay Bank shareholders win when our clients are successful. So our our employees are fully motivated to help our clients succeed.
And how old is this bank?
Bay Bank was formed in 2010.
And what was your role in forming it?
I was the initial founder and chairman of the company, representing a private equity group that bought a failed bank from the FDIC, Bay Bank.
So this bank that you were involved with founding, getting the investors behind, how young were you, 8 to 14 years old, when you began starting stuff or founding things or causing things to happen?
I think a point in my life during those years was when in sixth grade I raised my first show steer over the course of the fall. And spent 6 months raising the animal, investing in the animal, showing the animal successfully, and ultimately selling the animal.
So you went through a full cycle early in your life. Sixth grade's probably 10, 11 years old or something like
Correct.
That, isn't it? How'd that affect you going through that cycle?
I think it helped me understand the big picture. And what's involved in investing in a project and staying committed to your goal.
Interesting. Tell me a little bit about mom and dad. What'd they do for a living?
My father was a real estate broker and ran the dairy farm that I grew up on. And my mother was a homemaker. Originally, she grew up in Holland and emigrated to the U.S. during World War II.
You mentioned to me that the dad was a Quaker. Tell us a little bit about that. How that affected you?
My father grew up on a farm in Northern Virginia, which I run today, outside of Round Hill, Virginia. The family's Quaker heritage, and I think it imbued in me this humble and hungry mentality to do what you say and not over celebrate success and not be over disappointed in failure.
When you won that in sixth grade, when you and that show steer won, didn't it get you all cocky and stuff like that?
It was rewarding, but it also was the end of the steer. And I think that embodies the fact that you stay focused on the task and you're part of a bigger system.
So this humbleness of yours, how's that actually aided in your business career? And you're a banker. You're the, you know, it says here that you're the, that's my piece of paper. It says you're the president and CEO of a bank. I'm trying to figure out where humble comes into play here and actually aids you.
I think being humble helps you, on the one hand, be self-reliant and be a problem solver. On the other hand, it helps you guide and influence other people in a way that sets an example for
them. Who's got the next question? Philip?
You were talking to us earlier, and while you grew up on a family farm, you went away to boarding school. How did that affect where you are today and you're growing up?
Mm-hmm. The experience of going to boarding school after growing up on a farm was a game changer. It exposed me to a network of relationships and a field of opportunities that I would not have been provided, and the friendships and the ability to achieve more together mm-hmm. left a profound effect on me.
Uh-huh. Do you think that made you more independent and responsible at an earlier age?
I think growing up on the farm itself accelerated the sense of independence, but certainly going on to boarding school.
How did growing up on the farm accelerate the sense of independence? How young were you when you started working on the farm?
I really grew up in the business and put on my resume for boarding school that I was the farm manager.
How young were you when you started doing chores, where you were forced to do chores?
Honestly, from the early days in elementary school.
Didn't you hate that? Your friends were out playing and you're like feeding the cows or whatever?
It was always part of life. We lived on a farm and my
so
father
works,
was engaged
hard work's
in
just part of your DNA.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Who's got the next question?
So what's the relationship between banking and farming?
I think the relationship
excellent question,
Stephen. Is solving problems, managing risk in uncertain times,
mm-hmm.
and having a vision of how to put the pieces together to get the outcome that you want for yourself and for your customers.
Tim, what do you got? What are you thinking?
Well, drilling down, would you say that the working with the herds on the farm have any relationship to what you do now with all the people who work for the bank?
Well,
not likening the people to cows, but
exactly. I think the thing you look at is the people that you have. You understand their gifts and skills, and you seek ways to maximize their potential, in not the way you would do something, but the way that they would do it to achieve their success.
Wow, we're talking to a bank CEO. Wow.
Tell us about the first time you picked up or gave a helping hand to someone who was down.
I was fortunate when I left college to go work at Wachovia Bank in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And I had so many mentors that set the example for me, that invested in my career, that I've made it part of my philosophy to look for opportunities to help young bankers be successful.
Tell us about the first one of those.
The first one was in Winston-Salem, when I was in the process of approving loans. I helped a young banker in Greenville, North Carolina, figure out how to relay a tough message to a customer when he was very concerned about how that was going to be received by the customer.
Mm-hmm. We see a smile in your face. I mean, we can really understand how you enjoy the process of mentoring. Who's got the next question?
You mentioned that you continue to run the family farm today, or manage the family farm. Why do you do that? You're very successful. I'm not sure you have to do that.
I'm involved in the farm as a family legacy and a commitment to the conservation of the land that we own. And just like my job at Bay Bank, where I come in every day to try to maximize the value of the company and preserve it for communities, customers, and shareholders, I'm doing the same thing on behalf of my family.
Does that give you a better understanding of the people that work for you and that they have other things going on in their lives?
I think it does two things. One, I'm an entrepreneur at that farm. I make payroll. I deal with adversity. I call audibles to our plan on the one hand. And on the other hand, I understand what's involved in operating a small business. So I understand what our customers are going through. And I can help our employees better identify with the challenges of being an entrepreneur.
Which is harder, running a farm or a bank?
I would say running the bank is far more difficult. There are a lot of pressures. It's all about people and technology. And we try to keep it simple, but it's a very complicated industry of managing risk.
Tim, you got something else there, or Diane?
Tell us about your lapel pin.
Well, I wear a lapel pin with a ship sailing on uncharted waters, which is our logo at Bay Bank, and I think representative of a shared identity that our employees have of charting a course and sticking to it.
Interesting.
What is the course? What is the future of Bay Bank?
The future of Bay Bank is to continue to grow in the Baltimore-Washington corridor with entrepreneurs and business owners, and we anticipate a growth with our clients, and we anticipate further acquisitions, of which we have done four since we started our company.
Well, what's the website address for this organization known as Bay Bank?
The website address is baybankmd.com.
Let me have that one more time.
That's baybankmd.com.
Real quick, what's this? You have children?
I do. I have three children.
What's the similarity between being the CEO and being a dad?
It is very similar, in as much as your primary role is being a role model, coaching and developing, and helping your children celebrate
success.
Speaking
with Joe Thomas, President and CEO of Bay Bank, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Back in a moment, right after this business spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to introduce a gentleman by the name of Terry Kenny, Market President, TD Bank. Terry, what is TD Bank? What are you guys doing?
So TD Bank is a large organization. We're actually the 10th largest bank in the United States. We have about 1,300 locations from Maine to Florida, East Coast centric. I actually run the market from Delaware to Northern Virginia. It's about 67 locations in that particular market.
Interesting. How young were you? And we were speaking earlier, and I understand that it's the 10th largest. How many people report to you?
So directly, I guess there's about 35 or so on the teams that report directly to me, but indirectly it's about 650.
What would give us an indicator in your childhood of this team stuff? I mean, your middle name is Team. Give us a sense of how that would show up in your childhood, 8 to 14.
I definitely was into sports, played various youth sports.
What kind of sports?
Basketball and baseball were my favorite.
What was the common role you played on those teams?
I was definitely a team guy. I was never necessarily the star. Sometimes I worked hard to become the star, but I really just enjoyed the camaraderie of my teammates and, you know, seeing the team succeed.
Didn't you tell me that you thought of yourself as the grinder? What does that mean?
Yeah, definitely a grinder. Just very much a hard worker, willing to put in the effort to try to get better. I believe I definitely learned that.
What's that have to do with being the market president at TD Bank, being the grinder in sports?
Well, I mean, it is a very competitive industry, so you do have to show up every day and work hard to make it work. We have a tremendous opportunity to grow share in this particular market, and it doesn't come without hard work.
Didn't you tell me that the dairy farm was your grandfather's dairy farm? And then your father took it over, and you...
So my great-grandfather would have been the immigrant from Ireland, and he founded the farm. My grandfather was really the one that ran the dairy farm. My father was born and raised on the dairy farm, but actually relocated to the Washington area.
Gotcha. Didn't you tell me that a short while ago you took a trip back to the house? What was the reason for you taking a trip back to the house?
So I discovered a photograph that was actually dated 1898 of the family farm.
So why'd you bother taking it back?
I just felt like it was a piece of history that belonged with that particular house, and it was important to me to see that it got there.
So you feel a sense of community. You're a community team kind of guy in your heart, aren't you?
Absolutely. Very much engaged in local.
Is dad still around nowadays?
Unfortunately, my dad passed away about 2 years ago.
Didn't you tell me earlier that he was your best friend?
He was. Without a doubt, lost my best friend. He was certainly a role model to me, a mentor, and my biggest fan, I think, also through the years. So,
What's it tell us about your relationship with other men and entrepreneurs that you're dealing with? What's that have to do with your relationship with your dad?
I just think, my father was somebody, again, very hard worker, but someone who really cared for others. He was very much a caretaker, someone who was very active in the community.
That describes who you are, doesn't it?
I think so.
I just saw your face go flush. I believe that's true. Who's got the next question?
you were the youngest child, or you are the youngest child. Talk about your relationship with your brother and how that's affected you as a leader.
Well, I certainly like my brother, so I don't want them, anyone to get the wrong idea. But my brother was 7 years older than me, and I believe he was 8 school years ahead of me. So in many respects, I was somewhat of a, more of an only child, I would say. Growing up, and a lot of times, whether it was consciously or not, I opted to do the opposite of whatever my brother had done. So, interesting.
So you're really a team kind of guy. You know what hard work's about. I mean, you know, you're the guy that is all team, but also works hard. You're like the kind of guy I want on my team. Who's got the next question here?
Tell us about your mom and what you got from her.
So my mom, again, born in Minnesota, relocated to the D.C. area during World War II to work for the FBI. My mom never missed a day of work. And as the story goes, for both my brother and I, she worked up right to the end of her pregnancy.
Tell us about you? What'd you get from mom that you're bringing to work every day?
Again, I think it's that work ethic. You know, you show up, you do your best, you give 110%.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Tim, you got a question there?
Yeah, Terry, you said you grew up in this area, you still live in this area, this is the Washington, D.C. area. You work for a big bank, but how does that sense of community translate into helping people in this area?
Excellent question.
So, you know, while we are a big bank, we very much empower our people locally to make decisions. So, for instance, I'm on a number of various different community boards and organizations, and that is highly encouraged by my employer. And it's one of the reasons why I love working for TD is that, as I say, it's a big bank, but we have a big heart.
Mm-hmm. Stephen, what do you got?
So is that what you're grinding for?
Absolutely. I mean, because a lot of what I do does impact the communities where I've lived, worked, and played, you know, really my whole life.
How would your employees describe you as a leader?
You know, look, we have to get things done, so I certainly expect a lot from my people, but I also spend a lot of time coaching and developing, talking, listening to what their concerns are, and really I view my role as to help them get better.
What's the similarity between your role in that baseball and that basketball team and your role nowadays as the, it says you're the market president at TD Bank?
It's very similar because, again, a lot of coaching and development, a lot of cheerleading when necessary. Sometimes, you know, we got to prod people a little bit, but it's all for the betterment of the team. And I think, you know, we pride ourselves really in having a great deal of camaraderie on the team. So not only are we working hard, we're having fun while we're doing it.
Mm-hmm. How would you advise an 8 to 14-year-old today about what they ought to do to be successful?
To me, I think being an entrepreneur, being creative, curiosity to me, intellectual curiosity is probably the most critical ingredient. Combine that with passion, I'll take that any day over IQ.
Give me that again.
Creativeness, curiosity, and if you combine that with passion, I'll take that over you know, someone's IQ.
What you're saying is if somebody's really, you know, applying themselves and also creative, that's what the real key is, as opposed to just having the native intelligence. Interesting. Next question.
How does that bring you to banking?
So, you know, to me, I think I was drawn to banking completely by accident, but really to serve others. I really enjoy when our clients are successful and we're a part of that success. And same thing for our employees as they grow and develop and they become successful. Candidly, that's where I derive my greatest satisfaction.
I thought corporate America was all about, you know, go kill the next guy and competition and slice and dice. You're talking about teamwork and supporting the next guy. I don't know. I've been reading the wrong newspapers, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think sometimes you have to dig deeper and really understand the heart of an organization. And our particular organization is very much about helping our employees and our communities and our customers and clients prosper.
The heart of an organization. Is there such a thing?
I'd like to believe so, definitely.
Huh. What makes the heart of an association, of an organization?
I just think it's in how you go to market, right? You can choose to be what you talked about, which is kind of cutthroat competition, mm-hmm. or you can choose to try to do it the right way. And sometimes, you know, others might cut corners. I think, you know, in our world, we want to do it the right way.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address for this organization known as TD Bank?
Just TD.com.
TD.com. We've been speaking with Terry Kenny, Market President of TD Bank, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Back in a moment, right after this business spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Brian Plum, who is the CEO of Blue Ridge Bank. Brian, what is Blue Ridge Bank? What are you guys doing?
Blue Ridge Bank is a community bank headquartered in Luray, Virginia. The bank was formed in 1893. We have approximately 150 employees and around $415 million in assets.
Mm-hmm. When you started with the bank, what was your role there originally?
I started off with the bank as the chief financial officer.
And it says nowadays you happen to be the CEO of the bank. How young were you when the people skills and your math skills began to show up back 8 to 14 years old?
You know, early on, my mother, for her income, we had a child care operation or business in the house. And so, you know, obviously, with that, a lot of interaction.
So mom was running child care from the home in order to make some extra money, right?
Right.
So
right.
You had kids a little bit older than you and a little bit younger than you hanging out in the house. How many kids was that?
I'd say on average, probably 12 to 14.
12 to 14 kids, didn't you resent them being around because they got your mother's attention, or did you try to dominate them or beat them up or something?
That was just a constant playtime is essentially what it felt like.
Tell me more about that. Did somebody tell you to be cooperative and to make sure that they enjoyed themselves so their parents would want them to come back again, or did you just take that on?
Well, you know, and one thing you learn is that you had to get along with everybody because they were going to be there whether you wanted them to be there or not. So I did not have veto authority on that. So I think you just, in that environment, you learn to get along with everybody.
What did that teach you about being the CEO of Blue Ridge Bank, the fact that mom ran that child care and your relationships with those other kids?
Well, I think it just enhances the ability to take different people that, again, you have really not a whole lot of degree of choice in the environment of the child care operation in your house of who's going to be there, who's not. Mm-hmm. You know, you just learn to work with people. And
I also get the sense that you got a lot of respect for your mom, don't you?
I do, absolutely.
What do you mean?
You know, I'm a lot like my mother, I think. My mother's a very candid, direct person, and so I certainly see, I love my dad dearly.
Are women as capable as men in the banking industry?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Why?
You look at the skill set that you need to be successful in banking. You know, I'm not one who believes that there are necessarily inherent skill set differences between men and women. Mm-hmm. I think there's nothing in the banking world that a man can do that a woman can't.
Tim, did you have a question?
Yeah, did you grow up in the area in which Blue Ridge Bank is based?
Yes, I grew up in the same county that we're headquartered in.
So, why have you stayed there? What is the connection?
Certainly a commitment to the community, to try to make the community a better place and improve it. I'm sure there are other opportunities, other places, but as long as I can do what I do and can contribute, I think I'd like to keep doing that.
Why not move to a bigger market, for example?
I mean, I think that's certainly, again, I feel like I could probably do it professionally if I wanted to, but I'm committed to the idea that we can make our community a better place.
Mm-hmm.
So you know all your clients?
Not all of them. When I started at the bank, we were only about $83 million in assets. So back then, I probably knew a lot more than I do now. We cover a bigger geographic area and have grown significantly. Mm-hmm. So not as much knowledge as I once had, perhaps.
So you, when you were a kid, didn't you tell us that you had some sort of a role as in high school?
In our high school, I was class president 4 out of 5 years.
Why? How'd you manage to do that? Did you like pay off the other kids or beat them up or something, or what? How'd you manage to be the class president?
I certainly didn't get it on looks. Uh-huh. I was really asked to do it. Our first year in high school, I was asked by others to do it, and I did it.
Why'd they ask you to do it? What kind of person? What was it they spotted in you?
You know, I feel like I am a natural leader, and that's
what's a natural leader look like? What do you mean?
I think I'm somebody that I feel like, you know, throughout my life, I've just had different skills that I think are able to bring people together toward a common cause.
All right. So you happen to be the CEO of a bank, but one of the advantages of that is that you happen to deal with a lot of CEOs and a lot of other businesses, right?
Right.
Let me ask you a question. Could the CEO of a bank also be successful in another business as well?
Yes, I think that's right.
Like why? Tell me more. Tell me what's transferable there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think with banking, I mean, there's no secret sauce to it. I mean, we're doing a lot of the same things everybody else is doing out there. You know, we're trying to create relationships, figure out how we can be of benefit to consumers and to businesses, and that's how we drive value.
So you're telling me management is management, marketing is marketing, finance is finance. It just happens to be you chose the banking industry, and like Tim was bringing up earlier, you really want to help build the community. Diane brought up the fact that, you know, maybe you could have moved on, but you really want to stay and help contribute to the community by building this bank. Am I reading that correctly?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Who's got the next question? Philip, what do you got there?
You told us early on you had a job as a bag boy. How did that affect where you are now?
Yeah, so I was a bag boy at a local grocery store where we carried people's groceries out. Certainly learned a lot of responsibility with that. And also...
Wait. You're a bag boy at a local supermarket. How old are you?
I would have been 15 when I started that.
And what did that do to you?
It developed a more of an extroversion.
What are you talking about?
You
pick up the bag and you carry it outside.
Yeah, that's right. And
that's what most kids do.
So you had to make that decision whether or not you're going to have awkward silence for 30 to 60 seconds, or you're going to actually talk to people. And so really at that point in my life, I became probably much more of an extrovert than I was prior to that.
So what's that have to do with being the CEO of the bank?
I think with my role at the bank, a lot of it's visible leadership, a lot of it's communication skills. It's not necessarily the technical aspect. It's about being able to talk to people and find out, you know, how it is that they're driven, you know, how we can motivate them to contribute to the overall success of the company.
But, you know, so as a bag boy, you went the extra mile, and it sounds to me that one of those personality traits that developed, this extrovertedness, going the extra mile, actually has served you to become the president of the bank.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
Next question.
You were the CFO and you had a background in accounting. You can't be an extrovert and do those things, can you?
Yeah, that's a common perception. One thing about being a CFO and then prior to that being a CPA in public accounting is you learn that, you know, so much of success in business today, I think, is driven by not just what you know technically, but how you interact with people, how you can lead and organize others toward a common goal. And I think that transcends almost all occupations now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you're naturally that way, or do you think something about these experiences you had made you more extroverted?
I think it's a combination. I'm a big believer in the impact of our genetics on behavior. So I think a lot of what we are is what we're born as. But I think also there's no doubt in my mind that experiences along the way have helped build me into who I am now.
How did being the middle child in the family contribute to your ability to form business relationships?
Yeah, so, you know, I have a sister who's about 2 years older than me, and I'm a big believer that I think having an older sibling is great because I think it gives you something to aspire to. You know, you're always trying to catch up to that older sibling. My brother is almost 11 years younger than I am, so it's almost not like I'm a middle child in some ways, but I think just growing up in that environment, there's certainly elements of what you see in your siblings.
How did
you grow
up? John,
what does your big sister think about your impact on the community today?
I'm sure my sister's proud of me. She's like me. She's still in the area, so she sees a lot of what I do, and it has an impact there. I'd like to think she's proud of what I've done.
Uh-huh. And you also have a board, don't you?
That's correct.
What prepared you in your childhood to deal with a board?
You know, dealing with a board of directors, that's obviously got its own sets of challenges. And I think going back to a lot of the interactions I had as a child in leadership positions there, even something as simple as my mom's daycare mm-hmm. business. I mean, that's just dealing with people.
As opposed to being afraid, and it's like you're like one. Everybody's communicating all the time. What's the website address of this organization?
It is mybrb.com for My Blue Ridge Bank, mybrb.com.
We've been speaking with Brian Plum, CEO of Blue Ridge Bank. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. And your name is?
Chuck Ockletree.
And Chuck, what organization are you with?
The National Conference Center and West Belmont Place Event Center.
Uh-huh. And what makes this organization special?
The National Conference Center was built to be the nation's premier meeting and event venue. It's not a traditional hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we have 900 guest rooms and all the services and amenities of a traditional hotel,
mm-hmm.
because of our size, mm-hmm. we're able to deliver an environment that is very conducive to learning development.
And who are your clients?
Our clients are many of the corporate 100, corporate 500, as well as because of our location in Leesburg, Virginia, mm-hmm. we do a lot of business with Washington, D.C. Government agencies.
Mm-hmm. And what do you like about your job?
What I like about is we've had the opportunity to bring new leadership to the National Conference Center, blend with the tremendous service team that's built a reputation over the years for great service. And we've had a lot of fun helping our clients take advantage of the 65-acre campus.
How about you personally? What do you enjoy about your job?
I enjoy that we've had a very, very, very successful turnaround in mm-hmm. The 2.5 years, mm-hmm. Taking the National Conference Center from where it was in 2014 mm-hmm. with Excellent. The new ownership. We've literally doubled the revenue.
And what's your role in the organization again?
My role is Chief Marketing Officer.
And what's that mean?
Good question. It means that we're involved with branding, mm-hmm. Everything to do with the sales, the marketing, the promotion, and the business development.
So you're actually going out there and you're actually involved with helping bring in the clients.
Exactly, yes.
And I guess the way you're doing that is you're actually talking to a lot of the clients, making sure that, you know, your services are valuable.
We talk to a lot of the clients and we do a lot of events as well.
What's the website address of the organization?
www.conferencecenter.com.
Let me have that one more time.
www.conferencecenter.com.
This has been your Business Spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, John Schuart, Graybeard Coaching, and Phil Fagan, Diane Richer, Tim Perrin, and Steve Pazewski from yes. Polsonelli as my co-hosts. I'd like to introduce Bob Irvin, who is the president of American Rivers. Bob, what is American Rivers?
American Rivers is a national conservation nonprofit. We work to protect wild rivers, restore damaged rivers, and conserve clean water for people and nature.
How large or how small is this organization?
We have about 250,000 members, activists, and volunteers. We have around 83 employees. Mm-hmm. We're headquartered in Washington, D.C. About half of our staff is in Washington, and the other half are in offices around the country.
Uh-huh. You told us earlier that you happen to be an attorney, but you made a decision not to practice law necessarily. Why don't you go make a lot of money doing something else?
Well, I did practice law, but I decided to become a lawyer literally to save the world. It sounds kind of corny, but that's why I set out to be a lawyer, mm-hmm. and I'm fortunate that I get to do that.
What gave you that early influence that you wanted to be involved with nature?
Well, I love the outdoors. My grandfather was a great outdoorsman, and I had the good luck to be his only grandson at the time. And so he liked to hunt and fish, and he always took me with him.
Where was this?
At his farm in eastern Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit more about what happened to that farm over the course of years.
Well, I grew up as an Air Force brat. My dad was in the service, so we moved around all the time. But we always went back to my grandparents' farm every summer. And flowing through that farm was a little creek that was very polluted from strip mining and sewage waste. And when my mother grew up on that farm, she was able to play in the creek. When I was a kid, I wasn't able to because it was polluted, and that upset me, and I wanted to do something about it.
Do you really remember being upset? How old were you when this happened?
I was about 11 years old, and yeah, I remember it very well.
So what'd you do about it?
Well, I decided to make a career of working to protect the environment. So I got a forestry degree, and then I got a law degree, and I've been in conservation for over 30 years.
Mm-hmm. What was talk around the dinner table like?
Well, my family always loved to talk about current events and politics, mm-hmm. and we did no matter where we were.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, how's that affecting you nowadays?
Well, I think it helps to have a passion for politics and advocacy, and that's what we do at American Rivers.
Mm-hmm. Next question. Who's got it?
You talked about there was a big oil spill when you were younger, and that sort of affected you as well. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, this was around 1970, 71 in Tampa, Florida, where we lived at the time. There was an oil spill in Tampa Bay, and I was a kid. I was about, I must have been about 11 years old then. And I made posters encouraging people to help clean up ducks and other wildlife that had been affected by the oil spill, and took them around to local businesses.
And did you really think at 11 that making these posters would have an effect?
I did. I at an early age, I thought the individual action actually can make a difference. And in my career, I've seen that individual action combined collectively across a nation can make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Next question.
Bob, did the work you did, the advocacy as a child, did that prepare you for bringing parties together in a political environment where the environmental issues are somewhat controversial?
Well, I think that growing up as an Air Force brat and moving at least every 3 years taught me to be pretty adaptable and to be able to get to know people quickly and figure out what they were interested in and how I could become a part of a group. And those skills are very useful in bringing communities together to focus on protecting rivers and other environmental amenities. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that you were a Boy Scout growing up. How did that impact who you are today or your interests?
Well, the Boy Scouts teaches strong values. They teach you to be a leader, and they teach you how to work as part of a team. And so I found that those skills have all been very useful to me mm-hmm. as an adult.
Steven,
as well.
What do you got?
How have they been useful? Can you give us an example?
Well, I think as a leader, you need to have a core set of values that you stick with and that you model for an organization. I also think that clearly you have to be able to work in and lead a team effectively. So those are all skills that translated mm-hmm. from being a Boy Scout to being an adult.
Bob, what would your grandfather say about the work you do today?
I think my grandfather would be very proud of me. When I was a kid, if I got dressed up, he'd tell me I looked as fine as a Philadelphia lawyer. So whenever I put on a suit these days, I can always hear him in my ears say that.
Uh-huh. Have you really thought about how your grandfather would feel about what you've been able to accomplish?
I have thought about it. He was a big influence in my life, as my parents were as well.
Huh, interesting. Next question.
Do all the folks that work at your organization, are they as passionate as you are? Do you have to motivate them sometimes?
That's a great question. We have a set of core values at American Rivers. The first one is passion. And what I like to say about the people that work for American Rivers is that we are all passionate about rivers and compassionate about one another.
Hmm. I guess the benefit of your being the president of American Rivers is you get to go in at 9 and you get to leave at 5 because you're the president, right?
No, it doesn't work that way. It is a 24/7 job. But the benefit of working for American Rivers is I get to go to some pretty incredible places and see some amazing rivers and occasionally get to paddle on them or to fly fish.
So you're really drinking the Kool-Aid. I mean, you really are into this gig, but you don't have to work weekends, do you?
I work weekends when I need to.
Uh-huh. Interesting. And how large or how small is this organization?
We have about 250,000 members, activists, and volunteers, and our staff is about 83.
Do you pay attention to them?
I try to pay attention to all of them as much as I can, but clearly I have great people working with me who uh-huh. are able to do that as well.
Oh, interesting. Next question.
What's your favorite river?
Yeah.
Oh, my favorite river is the White River in Vermont, mm-hmm. and it's a place that I've spent many summers on with my family, my now mm-hmm. adult children.
Bob, what's the website address of American Rivers?
AmericanRivers.org.
We've been speaking with Bob Irvin, president of American Rivers, here on Executive Leaders Radio. John, can you please give us a rundown of who else we've had the opportunity of speaking with?
Today we talked to Joe Thomas, president of Bay Bank. We also talked to Terry Kinney, market president of TD Bank. Then Brian Plum, president and CEO of Blue Ridge Bank. And our last guest was Bob Irvin, president of American Rivers.
Excellent. I'd like to thank my co-host, John Schuart, Graybeard Coaching, and the folks from Pulsinelli, the law firm here in Washington, D.C., Phil Fagan, Diane Richer, Tim Perrin, and Steve Pozeski, for giving me hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.